Hi, welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the weekly podcast where my guests and I explore what it means and takes to be a kick-ass and kind adult these days. Expect deep, real and raw, as no topic is out of bounds. We want lives and businesses that are profitable, sustainable and fun. We want lives that feel as good on the inside as they perhaps look on the outside. And that means adulting the fuck up. I'm Ebony Allard. I'm an award-winning coach, author, and speaker. And if you're ready to implement, go to n2n365.club. For now, though, let's get on with the show. Hey, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of Adulting with Ebony. I am joined by Lola Pickett today, and we are live on YouTube, which hopefully means some of you will come and join us, and I'll share your comments and your likes and your questions if you do. But it also means we're dealing with an ever so slight time lag today. So Lola and I are going to give each other plenty of space and have a conversation about adulting, and particularly around empathic misfits. So should we start by, Lola, would you mind introducing yourself for those who don't know you?
I would be so happy to, and I'm so grateful to be in this space with you today, Ebony. So I am a mentor and resilience coach for empaths and highly sensitive people. And what my work is about is training folks who are too much or not enough and who have embodied and internalized those stories for most of their lives to return to a point of being full of themselves, which feels really daring and revolutionary for someone who's used to people pleasing, who's used to giving, who's used to tuning and tracking other people compared to themselves. Yeah. And so it's a really beautiful body of work that I get the privilege to facilitate. And when I'm not doing that work, I'm building my own resilience muscles here in Northern California. That's where I'm from. It's not where I am right now. I'm in Southern California, outside of San Diego. And the resilience muscles have been severely tested this year. And I am happy to report that the work works. And I'm still standing and got my feet firmly planted on the ground. And for that, I'm very grateful.
I love you. I love what you do. And this work is so important. And, you know, we've talked a little bit about this before on your podcast in terms of, you know, the one insult that I get all of the time is you're so full of yourself. And I remember for a really long time thinking, oh, gosh, I must be less full of myself. Who else am I supposed to be full of? I don't understand. Right. Yeah. So I guess with that in mind, what does adulting mean to you?
Adulting to me means taking responsibility for your choices and recognizing that even when things fly out of control, which they constantly do, that you are the driver of your own vehicle, and your choice in how you perceive things is where your power is. And so adulting to me is a storytelling exercise. It's meaning making. It's how do you choose to engage with what you perceive as reality, and what will you make of it while you're here? I think adulting is also like a recognition of our mortality, because as children, time stretches out like taffy in front of us and we have no concept of really endings or beginnings. And with adulthood comes a sense of, you know, we may not always have linear time behave the way that we think it does. Nevertheless, our lives will expire at some point, and we don't get to say when that happens. So what am I going to do, and who am I going to be while I'm here? And that question really guides a lot of my life. And I feel like that brings a lot of power into my life as well as responsibility, because you want to be able to look back and say, I participated fully in what I had to work with.
I love that so much. I love it so much because as a society right now, we are not great at mortality. We're not great at endings. We're not great at cycles. We're not great at shadow work. We're not, you know, and so this year has been an opportunity to really look at all of those things in a bit more depth, right?
Yeah, it's been an opportunity and like an invitation, but also it's been tossed in our face like a big mud pie. And it's like, are you going to make compost from this mud or are you going to drown in it because it's here?
Yeah, and I think that comes back to what you were talking about in terms of like the meaning that you make from it, right? Like what do you do with the information that's in front of you? Because we're all being given right now, this is really wonderful because it's kind of leveled the playing field in some ways and really not in others, right? But it's existing for everybody. So what are we going to do with it?
That's right. That's right. And it's so interesting too, because with meaning making, we can also get really stuck in that and paralyzed by that. And I see that with a lot of empaths of like, what am I feeling and whose stuff is this and what does it mean and blah, blah, blah. And it can be such a bypass from aliveness to sit there and stew in trying to figure out and contextualize every single thing that happens. And so one of the things that I love about my version of adulthood is also the exercise in taking away the meaning of things, like the meaning of coronavirus, the meaning of economic collapse, the meaning of all the things that are happening, especially here in the United States, and taking away the purpose of it in a way allows it to be more organic and to be seen as a part of nature versus some human-centered perspective that is always applied to everything because of how we are as a species. So that's also kind of a fun thing that I like to play with is like, let's make powerful meanings when it's appropriate, but let's also honor and embrace the other truth, which is that everything is meaningless, because that also offers a lot of liberation.
I couldn't agree more. And we were just before came on and we're having this conversation, I was talking about being in the luteal phase of my cycle and wondering how I've gained so much weight overnight. I'm feeling, you know, feeling like I look different, like I feel different, like everything, I'm giving it such great purpose. And actually I had this conversation with Jonathan before I came upstairs and he was like, yeah, but you're self-aware enough to know it's not fact. You're self-aware enough to know that it's not truth and you can choose to recognize it and work with it. And I think that's such a powerful tool because so many of us who are empathic, who are highly sensitive, rely on our intuition for everything.
Yes.
And sometimes we need to take everything away in order to see what's really there.
100%. Yeah. I love that so much because what I was saying in response to your story earlier was, you know, feelings are real, but they're not always the truth. And it's really hard to remember that when you're in the middle of a feeling storm and everything feels very true and it feels like the end or it feels like, you know, this is the next big thing. I mean, we can get attached to the good feelings just as much as we can get attached to the not as pleasant to experience ones. And so having the presence to be able to feel the feelings, like actually feel them in your body, not just emote, because feelings and emotions are actually different things, but to separate from the fact that it's not pure fact. It's just a feeling you're experiencing, an emotion that you're processing, and it doesn't have to be the ruler of your life, your own emotions, much less other people's, which a lot of empaths really struggle with. It's like, you know, am I walking into a room and feeling someone else's anxiety or is it my nervousness? Sometimes it's really hard to tell. And really the important question is not whose is this and how do I separate from them? It's what do I need right now? And that's a huge practice. Like, what do you mean I have to ask myself what I need? I have needs. It's okay to have needs. But isn't that self-centered? Isn't that narcissistic to think about myself? No. No, it's essential to stay in your power.
Yeah. I think, you know, so much of our work overlaps in terms of understanding feelings. Like, so I do a body scan every morning. What am I feeling? What am I sense? Like, what's the, so I kind of do feeling, sensate, emotion. And then I'm like, mine
someone in this house is, or like the world's, and what do I want, what do I need, and what do I desire? Mm. And checking in those nine things in that layer actually helps me discern where I am. Yeah. Right? Like, what's going on?
Yeah. I love that so much. And I love that you bring the body into it, because so much of the time our body's like just kind of farting around doing its thing, and we're not really including it in our check-ins, in like the whole picture of how we're going about our days. But where else are we but in our bodies, you know? I mean, of course, a lot of us,
and it's really easy to mix them up as well, right? Yes. Like, so it's really easy. I hear so many women say, I feel fat today, and I've stopped myself from saying that because it's lazy. Actually, it's like, what's the truth of what's going on? My body feels heavy and more bloated than usual, and I feel sluggish, and I have an emotion which is a little bit of grief that society doesn't allow me to go slower, or I don't believe it's okay for me to really slow down. Yeah. So what's the need? Oh, I need to be extra kind to myself, see if I can go a bit slower, you know, all of those things. And so it's not just a one of those self-development exercises that we get you to do. It's like, it's, there's a reason for it, and it's going to help you to move through your day. Right?
Yes. And that's something I really appreciate about your work, is that it's practical and it's real, and it's not just like fluffy stuff that you throw at people. Everything from this YouTube channel to your podcast to the things that I see you share online. And that's so important right now, that we find people who are genuine, as genuine as possible, especially for the highly sensitive folks. There's like the misfit story that a lot of us struggle with, is that there's nobody else like us, that nobody gets us, that nobody's having the experience of the world that we're having. And that's actually more narcissistic than taking care of yourself is, because you're sitting here in this story that nobody understands you, that you're so special, you're so different. That's bullshit. There are so many people out there like us, and I'm so grateful for the ones who are visible enough and vocal enough to say, like, hey, come over here. This is a little island in the sea of chaos where you can, you know, do some good work and return to yourself. And that matters.
Yeah. I mean, all of that back at you. Absolutely. And you know, it's so important for people to know that they're safe, and that it's safe to be yourself. It's safe to have the operating system that you have. And the route to that safety, like safety, and more now than ever, is an internal thing, right? Like, if we're relying on money or a home or being like, you know, all of those external structures for our safety, then we're probably feeling very wobbly right now. Whereas if our safety system is internal, then we, you know, you and I were just saying, it's like, it's a wild ride, but I feel okay in myself, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's to me what resilience means. It doesn't mean that you're toughened up, or you're like armored against the stuff that life is going to throw your way, because you don't have any say over that for the most part. But what resilience mean is that you trust yourself, is that you're anchored in yourself, that you have created an emotionally safe environment inside of yourself so that you can experience the feelings, get overwhelmed, go into your patterns and your habits, but always know that you can return to a center point and say, well, wait a minute, you know, wait a minute. Who am I being right now? How am I showing up for life right now? Not in a shaming sense or a judgmental sense, but a genuine curiosity of, am I being who I say I am, I want to be? And if I'm not, what can I change right now so that I can show up in that way? You're right that emotional safety, it overtakes physical safety in many ways, because when we don't have emotional safety, no matter how safe our physical environment is, we're not going to be able to access that feeling. So we've got to be able to learn how to provide emotional safety to ourselves first. And that's like the baseline of the resilience work that I do, because without that, nothing else is going to matter. You know, we can have all the money in the world, the best relationship, the highest quality coffee beans to brew every morning, and we're still going to be feeling like it's all going to be taken away from us at any moment.
Yeah, And there are so many people, at least in my world and in my work, who have experienced that at some point in their life, right? Like there's some trauma that happened, you know, potentially a long time ago or when they were first forming identity and understanding who they are in the world. And so everything was taken away. And so that means that they believe that that's true and they are waiting for it to happen again. And oftentimes re-imprinting it, right, and very subtly creating behavior and patterns and cycles that means that it does all fall apart and that they are reliving that.
That's right. Yeah, it's super common in my world as well to have some sort of trauma. And people ask me all the time, you know, like, is being an empath as a result of trauma, or, you know, does being an empath lead you into an experience of more trauma? And I would say it's like both and. But also it's not as simple as that, because trauma is not just about those big, like big capital T trauma experiences. When you are born with a highly sensitive nervous system, which is a physiological difference that a minority of folks are built with, about 20% of the population, according to current research, has this very different sensory processing and nervous system physiological construction. And when you have a highly sensitive nervous system, you are processing the world more deeply. You're processing your emotions more deeply. And so any sort of traumatic experience, whether it's just somebody, an offhand comment in the hallway at school, or something your mom said to you once, or, you know, a fall that you had, these things are going to embed themselves as bigger T traumas in your system, not because you're in a victim consciousness, but because your sensory system lets it in and imprints it more deeply. So we get more easily traumatized. And also the response to that trauma for empaths tends to be people-pleasing, hypervigilance, anxiety, social anxiety, perfectionism, a raging inner critic, and paralysis by procrastination. So these things are kind of like the side effects of that continually traumatized nervous system. So a lot of the work that I do is repair. You know, how do we reteach the nerves and the sensory perception mechanisms in our bodies to engage with life differently so that we're not always waiting for the shoe to drop?
And that's so important because, like you said, it's the difference between just making meaning.
Yeah.
Or actually using your entire system to, in the way that it's designed, to filtrate the data and analyze it appropriately, right?
Yeah, exactly. And what data are you paying attention to? Perception is reality. And when you're used to looking for what's wrong, I had a conversation on my podcast with a good friend and trauma therapist named Myra Holtzman, and she said one of her most powerful practices she offers to her clients is the daily question of what went right enough today, because it helps you retrain yourself to look for the things that might not have been great. They didn't have to be perfect. They didn't have to be outstanding. But like what went well enough, you know, because then you're not looking for what went wrong. What can I judge myself about? What can I abandon myself over? What can I rehash and loop through my mind instead of going to sleep over? It's like looking for the good, looking for the good enough. And we have such an extreme culture of like, fuck good enough. It has to be amazing, you know, like blah, blah. And sometimes good enough is the next step that we need to take. And that's okay. It doesn't mean that's where we're going to end up, that we're going to settle for the rest of our lives for what's just barely the minimum, right? But sometimes we got to start there so that we can start to climb up into more outrageously awesome experiences.
Yeah, we need to stabilize.
That's right. Right?
We can't, you can't ground and really embody and live in a reality that you haven't stabilized in every cell of your body. And so when people talk about mindset work, when they talk about, like, you know, just reprogramming this piece, for me, I'm like, yeah, that's fun, but it's going to disappear because you haven't grounded it into who you are, into every piece and being. And, you know, our autonomic nervous systems are the climate control. They're the, you know, the everything. If the climate control is off, if it's always looking for danger, then it's going to find danger, right? Like it's programmed in a certain way, and we get to reprogram it to know that you're safe, to know that things are calm, to know that things are good enough.
And it's really cool to just reflect back and forth about a lot of this, Ebony, because it just goes to show like how much has happened in the coaching world and in this like kind of spiritual mentorship category of service to bring the body into it, to acknowledge the role of grounding. I'm still seeing some content on social media about ascension and like transcendence and rising above and all of that language. But by and large, what I'm seeing more of is this conversation of how do we drop into ourselves? How do we ground the wisdom? How do we make the magic more mundane and more accessible? Because if it doesn't live here, if we're not here fully and we're trying to transcend to some other dimension, what good is that for life here on earth where we are all cohabiting together? You know, like the grounding piece is not just about your personal ability to move forward in your life in a more empowered way. It's about our citizenship on this planet together as a species. And the more of us that are willing to like drop in and down and be here now, the better chance we have of creating something more mutually beneficial.
Abso-fucking-lutely, because we are, you know, in my world, we are spiritual beings having a human experience, having chosen a human experience. We have incarnation intentions to, you know, to expand, to feel physically and, you know, have a physical and emotional human experience, because we can't do that just as spirit, as light, as, you know, as consciousness. And so we need to be really engaged in this human experience and with each other, because in any other realm, we don't have individuation, right? So we can't experience each other in the way that we get to experience each other as adults, right?
No, exactly. And I love this little bit because it's reminding me of what my husband is navigating right now. He's got some physical things going on and we're trying to figure out exactly what it is. And it could be anything from, you know, an innocuous infection all the way up to like, you know, whatever we would consider worst case scenarios. And so we're just kind of being present with all of it. And he's like, why does the body do these things? Like, why does it have to be like this? And, you know, da-da-da. And, you know, just kind of like frustrated with what's happening. And I said, well, you know, your body is telling you to lay the fuck down, which you have not done for your entire life. You have just gone. And like, you know, helped a million people and not really yourself. And this is your body's way of saying like, it's time to drop in and down, like real far down, buddy, and lay your ass on the bed, do nothing for anyone else, stop identifying with productivity, stop embodying whatever little filaments remain of toxic masculinity and just be. And the more that he does that, the better he feels and the better his body responds and, you know, the more improvement we see. And he does not like it. It's like, I don't want it to be like this. And spirit, soul, you know, what I believe is like, well, you know, there is no good or bad about the human experience. This is what life is. This is why we come here. We come here to feel pain. We come here to feel confusion. We come here to work through the shadow. We come here to love. We come here for all of this stuff. And, you know, you've had a pretty good existence up until this point. So let's experiment with the other side. And when we talk about it like that, it's like, okay, I can hold space for this a little bit better. I can hold space for him to have that experience, and I can support him in being with what is, with a little bit more grace and empowerment. But boy, like the body, the humanness, our spirits and souls, they really do offer us a great opportunity to learn a lot while we're here in these bodies, don't they?
They really do. And fortunately or unfortunately, it is never the lesson we want.
No.
And it never looks how we want it to look. It's like, yeah, I don't know. I think a lot of my stuff, and for a lot of us, right, it's a lot of my stuff is around control, and a lot of it's around like, you know, even in this work, it's about consciously creating, right? And yet what it doesn't, look how I want it to or sound how I want it to, then I can get frustrated, or I can be like, it's just a really big experiment. Like, notice, you know, the more we can notice, the more we can witness, the more that we can offer each other reflection and companionship on this journey, the less suffering, I believe, we experience.
Yeah, I heard once a long time ago when I was first kind of like waking up, quote unquote, that said pain is inevitable and suffering is optional. And I really took that to heart because I was in the midst of like a divorce and trying to figure out my shit and turning 30 and Saturn return and like all that stuff. And I thought, this is painful. Like the confusion I'm in and also like the excitement of something new is literally hurting me, but I don't have to sit here and suffer for it. I can just let it in and then let it out and be with it as I move forward in a different way. And that's continued to be like a little, not necessarily conscious top of mind mantra, but something that I refer back to unconsciously a lot of like, what does trust look like right now? Lack of trust is suffering. Where can I place my trust? Even if it's in something as basic as the sun will rise tomorrow. The earth is spinning. Gravity is real. Like those are things that I can trust even when I'm feeling like I'm getting disappointed or frustrated or worried about other things. There is always something that we can trust, and returning to that place takes away our suffering.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess, yeah, tracking the information. Like, so for me, like, I trust my cycle. I trust my predictability. I trust all of those things now. And I find it really fascinating because I was having a conversation yesterday with Jonathan about this. It was like, when I was in my teens and I first kind of got into relationship, I remember the guy I was in relationship said, "You're so predictable." And I decided in that moment, and it didn't feel predictable to me. I had no idea that I was going to do or say or be the way that I had, and he could see it before me. And so I made a decision in that moment to not be in relationship again until I knew myself better than anyone else could possibly know me, because I didn't enjoy the experience of someone else knowing me more than I knew me.
Wow. I love that.
So I was single for a really long time, right? Like I didn't recognize that was playing, but and I sort of stayed single and stayed out of deep intimacy until I really knew myself. And then one of the comments I got most often was, "Wow, you're really self-aware. You really know yourself." And I was like, "Yes, I do."
I made this choice.
Yeah. But now in relationship, I love it when somebody else knows me more than me, because they can hold space for me and be in an experience for me, and I don't have to do it all. Yeah. Right. And so coming at life as if it were a curious experiment that you get to play with, where there is no right and there is no wrong, like that is, as an empathic misfit, I wish that everyone got that. I wish that everyone got there is no right, there is no wrong. There are some guidelines, but no rules. You don't have to get it right, right?
No, and you don't have to get it perfect, and you don't have to help people who don't want it, who aren't ready for it, who aren't available for what you have to offer. You can't want someone's wellness more than they want it for themselves. And that piece, ooh, what a lesson that is, of letting go of control, of letting people have their journey and entrusting them to it and staying in the sidelines versus involved, because they can't receive what you have to offer.
Until they're ready for it, right? Like that first relationship, he may have had so much to offer me, but I wasn't available for it because I needed to, like, I needed to go on my journey first, right?
Yeah.
I feel like we could always chat and chat and chat and chat. will you end on an "I'm an adult but" with me today?
I'm an adult but. play.
I also love that you just said that with an English accent.
I will do it with an English accent because I can't help it. I'm an empath. I respond to accents as well as emotions. I am an adult, but play is still my number one priority.
Yes. Every time I see you, I want face paint. Every time.
I put it on just for you today.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah. I am an adult, but I really enjoy asking myself the question, how can I be more childlike today? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And noticing the difference between childish and childlike.
Yes, huge difference.
We're going to put everything in the show notes, but if people want to come and find your podcast, come and interact with you, find out how they can work with you, all of those things, where are the best places for them to go?
I love that. Thank you. My podcast is called Empath to Power, and we have very different, very empowering conversations around working with high sensitivity and empathic gifts so that you can stop letting your overwhelm be the reason you don't step up into leadership in your own life. It's a really fun show. Ebony was on it, had a great conversation with her. And you can also come over to my website, lolapickett.com. It's Pickett with two T's, not like the fence. And you'll find all kinds of things on there. I have lots of articles for empaths and sensitive folks and a quiz, which if you go to lolapickett.com/quiz, I will help you discover which type of empath you are, because that helps you understand how your sensitive nature shows up for you and both the kryptonite and the superpowers contained within. It's really cool, really fun, quick, easy quiz and surprisingly deep.
I'm going to go and do that.
Do after it.
The show. Yeah. We will put all the show notes, like everything in the show notes, so you can click awesome. Through. This episode will come out on Thursday, so I will also put it in my Instagram grid then, so you can come find us both there and click through as well. And if you have had any takeaways, favorite moments, questions, any of those things, please either pop them somewhere near this video on YouTube or on Instagram, and I'll make sure that they get answered. Thank you so, so much for your time today, Lola. It's been a real pleasure. And I wanted to just send you both lots and lots of love and ease and alignment with navigating the health body stuff.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. It's been a joy and a treat to be here with you this morning for us.
Yay. Thank you. This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony. You have been great. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening, for sharing, for rating and reviewing. If you have enjoyed this free content, please take a moment to rate us, to share an episode, to spread the word on social media, or to come find me on Instagram and tell me what you thought. On Instagram, I am @EbonyAllard, and I will see you in the DMs. Bye.